You want to have a testimony? All right. Turn to 1 Corinthians 9. 1 Corinthians 9. Appreciate the singing this morning. I've looked at this thought of a clean slate. Be the fifth message. Starting anew, starting fresh every morning. Every day's a new day, new start. Paul says in Ephesians, I'll just read it, get on to where you're at. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. He says in these two verses, right before that, he's talking about putting off the old man. Then he says, putting on the new. It's like taking off a garment. You take off an old, dirty, filthy, stinking garment, and you put on a new, clean garment. And he's talking about a new beginning, a new start. I have mentioned that, as I've already said, on four other occasions. And I want to try and deal with that again. Notice beginning in verse 24, 1 Corinthians 9:24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain or win. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. They ran in their Olympics of that day. Their prize, their trophy was a wreath crown, would fade in a few days, dry up. Paul said, we're running for something that doesn't fade or dry up. We're running for a reward in heaven. We're running for something worthwhile. Then he continues, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Paul is saying in these verses, we are running a race. Life is pictured as a race. The races in their day was much like ours. There were rules. There was a beginning. There was an end. There were lanes they had to get in. Each person was assigned a particular lane. They had to stay in that lane or they would be disqualified. They would lose. And Paul likens that to our lives. That being said, I want to look at this psalm. A clean slate, a new beginning. I have looked at the fact of the past that we need to forget and the problems we need to fix and the possibilities we need to fear and the people we need to find. I want to look this morning at this, the path we need to follow. I want you to picture this morning your life as a race. That path is a picture of God's will for your life, what He wants you to do, what He wants to accomplish through you while you're living this in this world, while you're breathing His air. He has a path that we are to follow. As Paul suggests here, when that person gets on that starting line, he is focused toward the end. He is looking in one direction. He has a path that he must follow, and when it starts, he heads toward the end for the prize. That ought to be our attitude this morning, that we get up every day thinking, what does God want from my life today? What is His will? My goal is His goal. My desire is His desire. What I want to do with His help, what I will do is that pleases Him. And when I pillow my head tonight, I can look back and say, God, help me do His will for today. the path that we are to follow. I think about an athlete when I think about this. That's exactly what Paul's talking about. And when I think about an athlete and one that is running the race the best that he can, I think of first the athlete's desire. We find that in these verses. Verse 24 says, they run that they may obtain. That athlete has a desire. His desire is not just to run. His desire is not just to show up. His desire is to win. He has that goal in mind. He hungers for that. He desires that. He craves that. And so it needs to be in our lives if we are what God wants us to be. We need that desire, that God-given desire, that hunger, that thirst for God. We need to want to do His will. If we have other things on our mind, if we have other desires and other interests, we will not run as hard as we can. We will not do what we can do. We will not accomplish what God wants us to accomplish. The athlete's desire, that desire is what gets him up in the morning. That desire is what pushes him when he grows tired. When he wants to quit, when he wants to throw in the towel, when he wants to go home, when he wants to go with friends and have a good time, that desire to win will push him to keep on training, to keep on doing what he knows he needs to do. That desire in the heart of a believer will drive them, will help you get up, help you pray, help you get to church, help you do right, even when your flesh does not want to. That desire, I want to please God. I want to do God's will today. I want Him to smile on me. That desire will push us. Sometimes desire is more important than ability. There are people running that race. They could do a whole lot better than they do. They are able to do more than they do, but they lack the desire. It's just not that important to them. They just don't have that crave, that desire, that drive that others do. And they could do a whole lot better. I say there's an epidemic of that in the church house of today. Always has been. There are believers that could do so much more for God. They could do so much more to His glory. They could do so much more to please Him. But they lack the desire. They just really don't care as much as they should. The athlete's desire is so important. I mentioned number two, not only the athlete's desire, but the athlete's dedication. Verse 25 says, every man that striveth. The word striveth means to struggle. It has the idea of endeavor to accomplish. The athlete doesn't just get on the starting line, run the race and win. They must train. They must work. They must sacrifice. There are some things they cannot do because they're training. They can't go out with the friends to party or even to go to the malt shop because they need to train. They are dedicated. They are sold out. That means more to them than anything else is running that race successfully and being the winner, being the best them they can be. Running the best race they can. There are many other obligations in their lives, there's no doubt. They have family, they have jobs, they have interest, they have recreation. But the thing they're dedicated to is the race of running. And those other things, even though some are important, they're not near as important as the race. and we are filled, our lives are full of things we must do. There's jobs, there's family, there's obligations, there's things to do around the house, plenty of obligations that we must do. There are things we want to do, recreation, having a good time, just enjoying life, not in the wrong way. Those things are fine, but they cannot take the place, they cannot take first place of walking with God. If they do, we'll not be the runner we need to be. And we will not follow that path that God gives us today. We will not please Him. We will not do His will as long as we have these other interests that take control of our lives. The athlete's dedication to be successful, that person's mind must be on their sport. They cannot be the best skier they can if they're a skier and they run a lemonade stand. They cannot be the best skater they could be if they skate and they have time with recreation. Oh, listen, there's a dedication involved. That's why James said, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. He says, that person must have their mind on one thing. Paul said it like this, I press for the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That word press means to energetically pursue a goal. He says, I drive for it. I push toward it. I'm dedicated to it. It is my life. It's not a part of my life. It is my life to please my God, to do His will, to do it the way He desires, not what I want, but what He wants. The athlete's dedication. The athlete's desire. The athlete's dedication. The athlete's discipline. Verse 25 said, he's temperate in all things. Has the idea of self-control. Not that we control ourselves, but that we give ourselves to God for Him to control. That we yield ourselves to Him. That we give our life over to Him and let Him control us, how we think, what we do, and what we say. The athlete's discipline. He goes on in verse 27, it says, I keep under my body. It literally means to beat black and blue. He says, I beat myself up. I say, in essence, you're not doing what you want to do today because there's a God who has a will. And His will is more important than your will. His desire is more important than your desire. Paul said, I beat myself up because self wants self. Self wants its way. Self is my enemy. Self is opposed to God's will. Self, I cannot do what I want to do and run this race successfully. I beat myself up and say no to self. You will not have your way. The athlete's discipline says yes to good and no to bad. The athlete is human. But if the athlete's going to be successful in the race, he cannot do what he wants to do. He will eat carrots instead of cake. And he will drink water instead of coffee. He will do what others do not do. Others will look at him and think he has lost his mind, but he's dedicated. It means more to him than what he wants as a human. And friend, we must realize if we're going to do God's will, His will must be more important than what we want. We must say no to self because self is contrary to God's will. Self is opposed to God's will. Self will keep us from doing God's will. We must sell out to God and be dedicated and be disciplined. And then I mention this. I'm talking about a clean slate, starting over, starting new. Getting up this morning, there's a path. Today, I need to walk. There's a race. Today, I need to run. There's a direction God wants me to go. There's a step He wants me to take, and a step He wants me to take. There's a path I need to follow. I have mentioned the athlete's desire and dedication and discipline. I want to mention number four, the athlete's disqualification. Verse 24 or 27, excuse me, Paul gave a fear he had that after I run, I myself might be a castaway. It literally means disqualified. It has nothing to do with Paul's salvation. What it has to do with this, as I've already suggested, in the race, even of that day, like ours, there were tracks with lanes. If your lane was number four, you had to stay in number four from the beginning to the end. If you got out of your lane, if you crossed across that line, you were disqualified, and it did not matter where you finished, it did not count. You were disqualified. And Paul is saying this, after I have preached to others and told them to live for God and serve Him, the worst thing that could happen is for me to do something that God would disqualify me. In other words, he says, I've got to run and I got to do it the right way. I've got to run in my lane. He recognized the possibility of embarrassing himself. I have seen people disqualified. I have seen people thrown away. I have seen people in the Olympics disqualified, and what they did beforehand didn't matter. That would be the worst thing to happen to a believer, to do something. To do something that would disqualify us, and God would take us and set us on the shelf and say, I can no longer use you. You're still mine. I'll still speak to you. I'm ready to forgive you. I'm ready to restore you. But in your condition right now, I cannot use you. You are on the shelf. Disqualification. Worst thing that could happen to a true athlete or to a true believer. Now I want to end my message with an illustration. It's one I used years ago, but it applies here. I thought as I was studying these verses and looking over these thoughts, I thought about a little story I've heard. You have heard it also. The story of the tortoise and the hare. The story of the turtle and the rabbit. And you know the story. The rabbit is full of energy. He is fast on his feet. They decide to have a race. The race is ridiculous because of the speed of the rabbit compared to the speed of the turtle. But there's a difference in their attitude and their actions that makes the outcome something unexpected. You expect the rabbit to win, but he doesn't, does he? And the reason that the rabbit loses and the reason that the turtle wins is because of this. The turtle kept on going. Here's the theme of that story. Don't brag about your lightning pace, for slow and steady won the race. The rabbit is full of energy. The rabbit is fast. The rabbit is one that gets pumped up and excited, and he runs and way ahead of the turtle. But then he gets to looking back and sees the turtle, and he relaxes. He takes a break. He runs good for a while, but then he slacks off. The turtle, on the other hand, is one that he's not near as exciting as the rabbit. He is rather dull. But he has one thing going for him. He keeps going. Here's what the turtle has going for him. He goes, boopity, 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 boop. But he has one thing going. He is leaning slightly forward. That keeps him going. He's not fast. He don't look exciting. Nobody's thrilled about him, but he keeps on going. Here's my point. The turtle is one that is not affected by the crowd. Now there's crowd lighting the road. And the fans of the rabbit are saying, go, rabbit! We love you, rabbit! Win, rabbit! And they're not just for the rabbit, they're against the turtle. And when he comes by, boopity, 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 boop, he hears words like, look at that turtle. What are you doing, turtle? Go back home, turtle. Quit, turtle. Give up, turtle. You have no hope, turtle. No chance. He doesn't let him stop. He doesn't let it stop him. The crowds that are against him, the people who want him to fail, the people who are not happy about him running the race, would love for him to quit, or trying to make him quit. Boopity, 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 boop, leaning slightly forward. The crowds do not affect him. Now, I'll tell you something. I mentioned in Sunday school, if you let people affect you, you will quit before sundown. If you look at people, if you listen to people, it will be so discouraging, you will quit God. The crowd didn't affect him. The competition didn't affect him. I mean, he's running against a rabbit, and he sees the rabbit, he is gone. He is so far ahead. He has lost sight of the rabbit. He has gone so far. It could have been easy to say, there is no way I can run like the rabbit. I am going home. I am quitting. But he didn't. Boopity, 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 boopity. Leaning slightly forward. He keeps running. Now I'll tell you something. If you get your eyes on others and what you see them doing, and I'm talking about good things for God, for a preacher, many preachers, I almost want to say most, many preachers struggle with, I'm not as well known as so-and-so. I'm not as liked as so-and-so. I'm not as experienced. If you get your eyes on others and compare yourself with them, it's liable to discourage you. I'm saying, listen to me, you be you. Be you. The turtle did not try to be like the rabbit, but he was the best turtle he could be. Just be the one that God wants you to be, but be the best you can be. Turtle's not affected by the crowd, by the competition. He's not affected by the cabbage. Down the path, over to the side, there's a garden. Rabbits love cabbage and so do turtles. The rabbit stopped and got him some lunch. And when the turtle comes, boopity, boopity, boop, he looks over and he sees that garden. And that cabbage does look good. Guess what? He keeps right on going. He didn't let the cabbage stop him. He didn't let the cabbage hinder him. And I tell you what, the devil will put things in our path to draw us from the will of God, to keep us from running the race, from keep us from following the path, to keep us from doing God's will. And if we are not careful, we will be pulled all over the place by what the devil puts before us. and it ain't nothing but a bunch of cabbage. It is worthless. It is earthly. It will dry up and blow away. And when we stand before God, we will be sorry the time we spent in the cabbage patch. Turtle didn't let that bother him. He kept on running. He didn't run fast, but he kept on running. He wasn't affected by what was going on. He was not affected by the crowd or the competition. He was not afraid by the cabbage. He was not affected by the conditions. The path sometimes was smooth and easy. He didn't go fast, but it wasn't that hard. But then there was times that the path had long uphill climbs. And the turtle slowed down some, but he kept on going. There were times that the path was so smooth, no rocks, no bumps, no gullies, but there was times he had to climb over the rocks and go through the low parts, and he had to get over the logs. He had a rough time. There was times that the conditions were hard. There were times that it was raining so hard that he could not hardly see himself. There were times the wind beat against him. There were times the sun was shining. There were times the storms came. Sounds like life, but he kept on running, and he didn't quit. The devil wants us all to quit. He wants your pew to be empty next week. He wants to give you an excuse today, this week, to not come back, to not open the Bible, to not pray, to not be faithful, to not run the race, not do God's will. And a lot of his excuses sound like they make good sense, but they're lies from the devil, lies from hell. And we're unwise to listen to his lies. I'm talking this morning about a clean slate, starting over again every day of your life. I'm trying to help us to realize that we've got a race to run, and we, like the turtle, just need to keep on running. Just keep on being faithful. John 6:66 says, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. There were people quitting God then. There's people quitting God now. Don't be the next one. Don't be the next one. Some of you, I've got this in my heart. I don't know who, don't know what. But some of you already are being snagged. You're being pulled. The devil's already speaking to you. You're getting discouraged. You're getting downhearted. You're getting to where things look good out there. I'm telling you, there's a trap ahead. Don't let the devil pull you into it. Don't be fooled. Oh, the turtle kept on running. We need to serve God anyway. I've said 1,000 times from this pulpit, we are soldiers, not Girl Scouts. We are in a battlefield, not a playground. It is serious. The devil still wants to sift God's people as wheat. He wants to blow away our lives into worthlessness and nothingness. He wants our life to not count for God. He wants us to miss the race. It has never been easy to serve God. Jesus did not have an easy time, and neither will me and you. But there is a good grace of God. There is God's help. There is God's grace. There is God's power to keep on going. We need to do like Paul. We need to do like the turtle. Just keep on running. Keep on praying. Keep on trusting. Keep on obeying, keep on serving. Stand for God. I've said this before so many times. I would hate to quit. I would hate to throw in the towel just before he came back in the rapture. That would be a terrible time to quit. And since we don't know when he's coming, we better not quit today. Ask you a couple of things. I'm done. Let's go ahead and stand. Won't y'all come play something?